90-minute tape converted to 60 minutes. The Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. The interview of Stanley K. Lau, interview number 35. And this is tape 2.
Were there any jobs which were either all Chinese or all non-Chinese for the war?
Well, there were certainly all kinds of situations. There are jobs where all Chinese were in, and there are jobs where all there are non-Chinese. I try to indicate that for the most part, these jobs that were traditionally Chinese, well, in other words, what Chinese have been associated with, like laundries and grocery stores and restaurants, sure, those were all Chinese. So far as getting into the white workforce, it was very tough. For someone to go to college and become a chemist and try to find a job as a chemist was tough. For someone to become that is when you're trying to find a learn a profession where you had to be employed by a white employer, that kind of situation, it would be tough to find a job. If you were going to be a professional like a lawyer or a doctor where you can practice in your own community, that was something else. Now, there was in Los Angeles a department store called a National Dollar Store, which is owned by Joe Sung up in San Francisco. There was a few offices, a few of these stores in this Los Angeles area. And there was one downtown on Broadway, I believe it was near between, close to Bullock's, I believe, on the west side of the street. I think it was something like, was it, between 5th Street and 7th Street, I believe, probably in the 600 block. And they hired Chinese because, of course, the owner was Chinese. And I worked there during Christmas vacation and to earn, and I thought for that time, gee, I thought for about a week's labor, $20, I think that was what I got. Well, that was fantastic money. And it was a good experience. But getting back to your question, it wasn't until after World War II that the Chinese began to move into the non-traditional Chinese jobs.
What would have been considered an average income in the pre-war period? And how did it compare with expenses, food, rent, etc.?
That's a hard question to answer. I couldn't begin to give you a good answer as to what would be a good income. I do say this, that my dad's business, being herbalist, was produced income which is over the average. That is, it wasn't like a doctor's business where you do make a lot of money, but we had a comfortable standard living, and we had nice things in a home, and my dad didn't have to work very hard, that is manually for it, so we had a professional type of income. But as to numbers, I I couldn't begin to tell you in terms of what would be acceptable. As I said earlier, I think I got $20 a week working for a dollar store in the Christmas vacation, so you can probably use that and scale up to what would be a good income per month. Let me see if I can remember what I was making in the service. Yeah, I don't remember what I was doing making as a soldier at that time, too. But I think that if you have, the answer really to that is look back on the national census of income for that period of time, and that would give you a pretty good idea. I don't think I can give you the answer right now.
Did most Chinese live near other Chinese? Would they move if the neighborhood changed just to stay near other Chinese?
Well, Chinese, of course, at that time stayed in groups that they, more people they knew. Besides Chinatown, there was a cluster of people in the 9th Street area, around the produce market area, and then there was a group moving around the Adams Boulevard and San Pedro area. And of course, a little before that time, let's see, around Washington Boulevard, the 20th Street area, had a good community of Chinese, residentially speaking. So that although there was a Chinatown where there, the group there, nevertheless, you had another group that living in the hole between 9th Street and the 20th Street area. And they had a smaller, so far as business is concerned, there was a few restaurants and there was a few markets, Chinese groceries. So it was sort of a mini Chinatown in a way. Chinese didn't move out of the area too much until the following World War II, simply because, again, it was difficult to buy homes in the white area. And of course, for the most part, the Chinese didn't want to move to an area unless they felt they could be accepted. So as a result, the Chinese tended to be a cluster more among themselves. The only people that moved, stayed away from Chinatown were people that had businesses away from Chinatown. Not only like my father, but other Chinese as well. They may have a restaurant in Long Beach, or they may have a grocery store out in other parts of town. You'd have these people then, not living among the Chinese, but they, because of the businesses, would be living in that that community that they serve.
What did people do with their money? They saved, gambled, sent it back to China, put it in the bank?
I can't speak for other people. Relating to my own family, Mom tried to save money. Of course, the kids, I knew I tried to save money because of it. Of course, being through the Depression, where money is hard to get, we tried to save it. But then on my other hand, my dad, he believed in keeping the economy going. He had very little money saved. He, whatever money he accumulated, he'd spend on it, like buying a new car. We'd buy it on time, or buy new furniture, or remodeling a home. And he wasn't much of a saver. My dad wasn't, but my mother was. My mother tried to save, but of course, whatever money we got, we tried to save as kids. My dad gave us sometimes, I don't know what about it being allowance, but there was times when my dad would be give us some money, go to the movies or do something, and I, whatever money was left over, I'd try to squirrel that away, try to save. I think that at least in our family. Again, it depends on individuals. My brother doesn't, I don't think he was a saving type. My sister was a saving type. So, again, it had to depend on individuals. So you can't generalize from what I've told you. But I think that the Depression may have an influence on this, and also because of the feeling that if you want to buy something, you should save money for it. So far as buying things on time, I think my dad was, I don't know, there may have been other Chinese businessmen who may have borrowed money, so it's hard to say that, but at least my dad's way of doing things was sort of appalling to the rest of the family.
Did you have family in China that you sent money back to?
Yes and no. I have, at that time, a grandmother in China, and some great some aunts and uncles. And my mother had a brother whom she loved a great deal in China. And occasionally, I believe, we sent some money back. But and they tried to keep up some sort of correspondence, and I was lazy in writing. I tried to write a letter to my mother's brother occasionally. I think that towards my father's side of the family, there was, well, my father's younger brother came to America as a minister to San Diego at a time when, I guess when we were living in Bakersfield. And I didn't particularly like him because I think in the swimming pool once he dunked me under the water. So far as contact with the family back there, I had a feeling that, yeah, I had relatives back in China, but they were just names as far as I'm concerned. I didn't have any feeling of love or any feeling of kinship from that standpoint.
Do you know of any Chinese who were involved in politics in China? For example, in supporting the 1911 revolution?
No, we didn't have anything to do with politics or care too much about politics in China or even over here. I think my dad may have had some, I don't have to call it the word, it'd be more liberalized, or I don't think he was really a Chiang supporter. But my dad wasn't into politics, and we weren't really into that scene too much. I think we were more concerned with the day-to-day living and community activities, non-political activities, I would say.
Did many Chinese feel that they had obligations in China, for instance, like family support?
Well, I can't say for sure. I can only say that I've heard of people sending money back to China and to support families back there. But using, again, I can only relate from our experience, and we didn't send a great deal of money back there. I know it. At times there was requests for money, and my mother would be concerned about that. But for the most part, we didn't send regular amounts of money back to China. We were more or less isolated in this country. And even to today, I feel that, you know, I have cousins and still other relatives abroad. I still feel that there's no family other than my own immediate brother and sister at the present time, only so far as concerning my blood relatives.
Were the Chinese in Los Angeles affected by the Depression?
Well, it's... I think everyone would be affected by the Depression. To say that one group was less affected than another, that would be a difficult question to say. It affected us from a standpoint that, as I indicated earlier, I know my dad borrowed money to buy rice. And things were tough for a while. Looking back, now reflecting back, I realized how much my dad did, and he never complained. It didn't seem to bother him that he owed people money, but it sure bothered the heck out of the rest of the family. I don't know if he ever repaid that money, but things gradually worked out, and those are the bad times. And when the Depression began to gradually get over, then suddenly, my dad's practice as an herbalist began to become better and better. Although I don't think he was really a businessman type. Some letter Chinese would advertise as an herbalist, and they would establish more than one office. Have branch offices, so to speak. My dad tried to do it once, and it worked for a while, but I don't think my dad was really a businessman. He sort of just went along. He did all right, but he was, I don't think that was his real love.
Did you feel there was hostility toward Chinese in Los Angeles?
I wouldn't say there was hostility. If you kept your place, that was fine. Let me tell an example of how I felt from discrimination in Glendale. The Chinese, some of the kids, the families that my folks knew, they were, you'd say, the upper class among the Chinese. And they would have dinner parties. In fact, I think Thomas Wong's daughter, Barbara Jean Wong, at that time was among the top, you might say, among the young people in Los Angeles. And she'd have dinner parties and other functions. And at these dinner parties, there would be social dancing involving. And I didn't know how to dance, but I wanted to learn. And I'm a kind of a person who just can't pick up dancing. I like to get instruction to do things. And so I enrolled. That was this time. This was in high school. I enrolled in a dance class in Glendale. And it turned out I was the only Chinese person in that class. In the first meeting of the class, it was a group meeting, and it was taught by a Jewish instructor. I think his name was Jules Schwartz. And it was on Bryan Boulevard, and I'm with this dance class. And I really started to, it was nice. I thought only of learning dancing. I had nothing in mind of dating a white girl or anything like that. It just, for me, it was the purpose of learning dancing, okay? Now, a couple of days after the dance class, I saw the dance teacher come up the front walk of my dad's, of our home. And when he rang the doorbell, I just knew something was wrong. And what I knew would be wrong, it turned out to be correct. Meaning that he told my dad that, I was a nice boy, and he liked me. But then there were some parents in the girls in the class who objected to me being part of that class. And so he told my dad that he'd be willing to give me private lessons at the same rate as a group rate. Now, of course, it didn't make a difference to me. I wasn't mad. I was a little bit hurt, but not hurt to the degree of suddenly, as if I had, someone told me I had B.O., simply because I kind of expected that. So that was, from that standpoint, there was a little bit hurt, but it didn't bother me. For that. Okay, so people didn't want me in the class, and I got a good deal anyway. I'm getting a private lesson, so that was fine. So it was sort of rationalization on my part, but there was that overtness where it wasn't hatred toward me, it was sort of, you might say, more of a resentment, more than hostility. I guess it was resentment that, hey, here, what are you trying to do, learning dancing? Hey, what are you trying to do? But I don't hold it as so much as being towards Chinese. I guess I'm sure that would be the same thing towards Japanese. And even towards the Mexicans. Perhaps a Mexican boy going with a white girl would probably be a little more acceptable, because I knew away. In high school, there was one situation like this than with Orientals. So that was one example. And as a matter of fact, too, if you talk about even in 1956, as late as that, when Dora and I tried to buy a home in the Sunny Hills area, we went out there and in this track home, the sales office, and we stood around and looked, and no one. Came up to us and people were talking, salesmen talking to people, and no one kept coming. Finally, it dawned on me that something's wrong. So I walked over and asked the salesman. I said, "Do you sell the Orientals in this to this track?" And he said, "Well, we haven't yet." And I knew damn well right then and there was no use trying. So as even late as that, there was this bias or prejudice or discrimination towards Asians. or at least towards Chinese. So, answering your question of whether hostility, no, I don't think there's open hostility where they go and chase Chinese out of town or anything like that, but there was still that resentment or prejudice towards Chinese at that time, at least in the white community. Now, maybe those in Chinatown would be a little different, but there in the white community, we faced it in Glendale.
So you think it disappeared after 1960 then, the hostility or...
Well, what's discrimination, how does it die? I'd say that there's less, become less as the young people become to be more aware of other people in the world. With the younger people and the new generations, you find it that people of all nationalities and racial background being becoming accepted. So from that standpoint, things are improving.
Would you consider the Chinese to have done better or worse than the general population of Los Angeles?
No, again, that's a very difficult question to answer. Do better or not? I would say that if you say among the Chinese, for those who've been able to break away and become professional people, such as become doctors and dentists and work in the white communities and opening shops in the white community and like the Lowe family and expanding the furniture business in Pasadena, I'd say that they have done better than other Chinese. And that's and from that standpoint, because they, now the children, they don't have to work the menial or the traditional type of job. They've been able to get away from being waiters and getting away from working in Chinatown. So I think the Chinese have done better today, are doing better today than they did before, among that is, so far as Chinese go, that is relating to Chinese. But if you relate to other racial groups and to the white community, it's hard to say that they've done better. I think that everyone, you have to take on an individual basis. But I would say certainly today's Chinese are doing better than yesterday's Chinese, if I can answer your question.
Okay. Now let's go on to the cultural attitudes. Where did Chinese men meet their wives? Among American-born Chinese women?
Yeah.
Did many return?
The fellows among, in my younger days, we met, the fellows met the gals, right, either going to church or through school groups, school clubs, student associations, or families introducing, the family's kids. It was more among American born. It wasn't that so much as going back to China as such and finding a woman back there. That is the people, most of the people I know have worked in this particular area. There were social clubs, all fellows or all women or all girls, and then they did have parties, dances, and you get to know people that way. I don't, I would think that's what most people do anyway, even among the white community.
Did many of your friends return to China to get married?
No. Most of my friends were married to people here.
Were the American-born Chinese just as eager to have sons rather than daughters as their parents?
I can't speak for others. Speaking of my case, I know my folks, my dad and mom would like to have a grandson, that is a son, a grandson. But it wasn't matter. They never said out loud, "Oh, now we want you to have a child. Or we want you to have this to make us happy." No, I think my dad was just I think my dad was different than most of the Chinese people his age. Meaning this, that he seemed to be more progressive and adapted himself to Western thinking or to openness. He was more liberal in his thinking than most Chinese men. at the time. In some ways, he became more Americanized than I was. For example, like this business of buying things on time. He accepted, saying, more than my mother. My mother, I think, in some ways, was still Chinese discipline. When we were kids, when misbehaved, she used a satang, thin bamboo to strike us. I can still remember the times that I tried to get back to my parents or to my mother by telling my brother and sister when we were being whipped, and I said, don't cry, don't cry. And then just our defiance, so to speak, of this Chinese beating. My dad, I don't remember, very few times even punishing us physically. I don't know if he felt that mom would do the job, or maybe he felt that wasn't the way to go. But my dad was very understanding. I think many young people, my friends, really like my dad, because he was, I guess they call him, he was very modern, whatever that term means, in his thinking. He accepted new ideas. He accepted the fact that kids or young people had their opinions and they deserve to be heard. And he welcomed young ideas, new things. I think that openness, his willingness to accept new ideas, which was different. And when you get back to you, now we've lost track of your question. What was the question again now?
Well, were American-born Chinese just as eager to have sons rather than daughters as their parents did?
So I would say in my parents' case, I would think yes, back of their mind, I could sense they would like to have them. But it wasn't that critical, and there wasn't that feeling of saying, well, no, when I become old, you support me and all that. They wanted to retain their independence. As a matter of fact, my dad continued to, when all the kids and family married off, he still enjoyed being his own man. He worked when he felt like it, and as an herbalist, a little place in Chinatown, I think upstairs in the present Chamber of Commerce building, Chinese Chamber of Commerce building, and he'd keep odd hours or regular hours and eat what he felt like and drank what he felt like and kept smoking as much as he wanted to. And he had one heart attack, I believe, in around 71 years old, and that was it. So sometimes I wonder, when we talk about cholesterol and strain and everything like that, my dad did everything wrong, I think, medically. Still, he kept young in spirit and had a good life. So, but my dad was, I think, was not like other parents. Because my dad, I think, had, because of his contacts in the white community and working with them, maybe that was, or maybe he, by nature, he was more liberal. Okay.
All right. What did most people think of interracial marriage? Do you know of any instances of it?
Yes, at my time, there was one person who married a Chinese woman married a Japanese man, and she was ostracized in the community. No one would have anything to do with her. That was the worst thing. Marrying outside of your race. I forgot the name of this couple. But just a Chinese woman marrying Japanese, that was bad, taboo. So far as, let's see, interracial with whites, I don't recall that is in the community. So far as, even I was thinking about even interracial among the religion. Think of that as such in the Chinese community in Los Angeles. But that's about the only glaring recollection I have of an interracial situation.
All right. Did many parents feel it was important for their children to attend Chinese schools to learn the language?
I believe so. At least you had various schools in Chinatown, run by Zhonghua or by the churches to learn Chinese. And in our family, I know that our parents tried to get us to learn Chinese. And I understand up in San Francisco they had even regular schools, public schools, teaching Chinese.
Thank you.